Two Middle-Aged Men in Cleveland, episode 134.
I can't see.
I'm not surprised. You're still wearing your glasses, which is cool. How did you drive in those, by the
way? You take these off after it's over?
I mean, you can. I think I like to keep them on.
Oh, forever. Okay. All right, I got it now.
Well, we've all recovered, I believe, from the eclipse. Ken Dvorsnik, Ted Klopp bringing you, let's just call it insanity for probably the next half hour to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know what your expectations were. We'll start right from the top. What were your expectations of the eclipse? I was cautiously optimistic is my thoughts. I had no idea what to expect. I felt as though everything was being overblown by many different people, including the news media. And I'm thinking, all right, whatever. Here's my thoughts on this. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. That's it.
I would agree with that. I was prepared to be underwhelmed, and I wasn't. So
same.
I would, it was pretty cool to see and to experience. And, you know, we talked so much about our kids on this show. Seeing their excitement was more than worth the price of admission. My oldest son, so we have 12, 11, and 10. Oldest son would come out every so often. So we stayed home watching it in our driveway. And so, you know, about 2 o'clock, one of the younger kids puts on the glasses and says, "Oh, wait, it's starting." And so we all kind of looked and we're like, "Oh, wow, look at that." And the oldest one is like, "Okay, yeah, I'll come back out when it's closer." And so every so often we'd be like, "You might want to come out." And he was like, "I'll come out when it's closer." My middle son, about 20, 25 minutes before the total eclipse, took my phone and made a 15-minute recording of, he was an on-the-spot reporter.
Oh, impressive.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, hey, guys, you probably know why I'm here. The eclipse is going to happen. It's over my shoulder. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so that was kind of neat to see. And then my youngest son was just very excited and, you know, running around and that kind of thing. So it was cool to experience and cool to see the excitement of everybody involved in our family. How about you?
Yeah, well, it was very cool. My kids were with their mom. And so they were in actually probably the best place you could be, in a field. No. In Wadsworth, Ohio, what's probably the last place anybody's going to be at. I took it in Strongsville in a field, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah,
I didn't know how people are going to react. I was worried about the animals. I read this news that the animals might go crazy. They might want to breed. I was concerned about that. That didn't happen. So, no, in all seriousness, I have never seen anything like that, nor will I ever see anything like that again. The whole light to dark thing and then back to light was wild. To be there in 3 o'clock in the afternoon and act as though it was midnight was amazing. And then to look at it, I took the glasses off. I imagine you and the kids and your wife did too. Took the glasses off when you had totality. When you had the totality. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then some of the pictures that I saw on social media that people took of the moon and how descriptive it was. It was awesome. And guess what? Yeah, we didn't necessarily need to use our phones. We looked at through glasses. We talked to each other. I mean, it was pretty cool. I will say it was worth the wait. Was there as many people in the downtown area as they talked about? I don't know. Luckily, I wasn't there. I didn't have to pay $80 to park my car, which was a huge bonus. But no, it was an awesome experience. And hopefully everyone had the same great experience as Ted and I did.
Yeah. Yeah. It was everything once in a lifetime was cracked up to be and then some. And just an amazing experience. I was surprised with that little sliver of sun poking out, how bright it still was.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that either. Did you see any odd behavior? Well, obviously you were at your house, so both you and I both experienced odd behavior.
I think bystanders would say, look at those kids. But aside from that,
nothing.
No, I mean, so I think I successfully annoyed my wife by playing Total Eclipse of the Heart during that period of time. And then when she got, the best part was she got me to stop, and somebody around the corner from our house had a giant speaker and started playing it.
Of course they did.
So that was a highlight for me.
That is great.
Aside from that, it was something.
I didn't see any odd behavior. I did question the people that were driving around at that point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, we were in the experiencing totality, which I've been told I can't say that word anymore.
Oh, you can't.
We're done saying that. But right. Why are you driving around? What were you going
right.
during this? I don't understand that. This is something you'll never see in the next. Well, we'll never see it because I think it's 400 years until it happens again.
Correct. But,
what are you doing? I don't understand that. It was people are different.
That's a good way to describe it. At first I was like, why is there no school, you know, all that stuff.
Yes.
And then I was given the explanation and it made complete sense. The whole, well, if your kids are on a school bus and people start stopping for the eclipse.
Yes.
That's very unsafe.
Correct.
So I was like, okay, I get that. All right. I'm on board with that. And then as it turned out, I was really happy that they got to see not just the 4 minutes, but the whole, whatever it was, hour and a half, I think
yes.
it was.
Yes.
You know, the lead up, the passing and whatnot. My wife did a really cool thing. She took her phone and put it on like time lapse. And so not only did you get, I mean, it's not great quality. It's a phone. But
right.
You can see not just the eclipse, but because it's on time lapse, you can see the sun move across the frame, which
that's
I thought
awesome.
Was really neat.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, there are some great pictures out there of that, and a lot of other people did a time lapse. But yeah, it was very cool. Well, you know what? Historic.
Absolutely.
Our meteorologist Scott Sable was correct. This was definitely something to see, and yeah, I'm glad I was able to do that. Well, I have a great. Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say, in honor of the eclipse, we've decided to have him on again, and
yes,
not talk about the eclipse with him.
No, he's tired
out.
Of talking about it.
We're done with the eclipse.
No, nope, the eclipse is done. It's over.
Moving on.
To make us, you know, to help us get rid of the idea of the eclipse, I have a great way to do that right now.
Oh, please.
Let's talk some jersey numbers.
Oh. What are we at? 34?
34.
Oh, this is wrong here. Let me fix it.
That's all right. I worked through it.
Yeah. 34. Well, what team are we starting with?
Oh, I have to start with the Guardians, one of the hottest teams in baseball right now.
Well, I'm gonna pick a guy that'll make you laugh. How about Dave Burba?
Correct. Nice job. How about Sam McDowell?
Sudden Sam. Dave Burba, by the way, you know, one of the lasting memories, I'm sure he won't appreciate this, but not too many Indians players gave the fans half the peace sign on the way off the field, but it was one of them.
Did Joe Charbonneau ever do that?
I don't know.
I don't think he did. He was also 34. So. Brian Anderson, it seems like he's worn every jersey because we've said his name a couple times. He wore 34 for one season.
Yep.
Cliff Lee, Cy Young Award winner. Corey Kluber, who threw out the first pitch for opening day. him and Michael Brantley. I thought maybe we're going to see if we can convince Kluber to pitch, but after yesterday, I don't know if we need to do that.
Right.
Zach McAllister, who played in a 34 jersey forever, and I'll be honest with you, boy, that guy pitched for us for a long time, and he was just a middle relief guy. He was supposed to be a really good pitcher. It just didn't work out that way. Zach, please, Zach.
Yeah.
And your favorite. I know this is a fan favorite. This was last year. We traded for this guy. I think he pitched three times for us, and we got rid of him. Noah Syndergaard. What a career he had for us.
Oh.
Boy. This jersey number for the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think you're going to get it. There's only one person that has ever worn 34 for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, Austin Carr.
Austin Carr.
Gotta be. For
throwing
the
Browns. It down.
Huh?
He's throwing it down still.
Yeah. There's been a
get
bunch.
That weak stuff out of there. Get it out of there, please.
Yes.
Yes. How about some Browns?
Well, there's been a ton.
I mean, your best bet is to think of some running backs, because right. I think that's what most of this list is.
Kevin Mack.
Yes.
You got Nick Chubb's replacement from last year, whose name I can't think of at the moment.
Oh, yeah, Jerome Ford.
Jerome Ford.
Well done.
Let's see, who else is a 34? A
couple popular ones here.
No, was there any? I don't think there were any backs from the great 60s teams that are notable for 34, are they?
No, they're not. Okay. You're correct on that.
Okay.
70s, 80s, yes. Name one. There's another one I thought you would get.
Another one? I'm blanking. Who am I missing?
Greg Pruitt.
Greg Pruitt, son of a gun.
Thought you'd get that one.
Yeah, I'm ashamed.
How about Isaiah Crowell? Ruben Drones. Ben Gay. Carlos Hyde had the strangest career with us ever.
Jeez.
And then Lorenzo White. I don't remember Lorenzo White playing for us, but he did. He
you
did
mean,
it for us.
You mean
he ran
Snow
around.
White?
So that's those are our jerseys. Pretty good list today. I was pretty impressed with the 34s.
That's surprising to me that there's only been one 34 for the Cavaliers.
Just one, baby. That's all you need.
You know, obviously he's the greatest player in franchise history, but that's kind of. You know, nobody, I guess, you know, because the franchise was so young when he grabbed it.
Correct. And was so good. And then nobody ever took the number afterwards.
Yeah.
He wore it from 73 to 80.
Wow.
Still with the organization. So, yeah, certainly a fan favorite. Ted, I don't know if you want to talk about this now or at the end. I have some Cleveland news. Would you like to hear some of this?
Well, go right ahead. I'm always up for some Cleveland news.
So I know you're familiar with this because of your time at Channel 19, and I had to walk by this building every day when I interned there. I was thinking about that the other day. I worked a whole summer where I was working 4 days a week, and you know what you know how much I got paid?
Yeah, I do know how much you got paid.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
That's why you're laughing. Nothing.
I am, yes.
Every time I worked, I lost money because I had to park in a parking lot.
Right.
But when I would park in the parking lot, I would walk by the Greyhound Terminal.
Yeah.
Did you know that was sold recently?
No, I did not.
Yes, the Playhouse Square Foundation has bought the terminal, and they bought it for like $3.3 million. What they're going to do with that, I have no idea. That was built in 1948. And there's 2.26 acres involved with that, which I didn't realize that either.
Wow.
I found that very interesting.
Do you know, can you name the radio station that used to be directly across the street from the Greyhound station? You want to go with trivia? Here's some trivia.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with WHK.
A station that doesn't have the same colors as it did when it was across from the Greyhound station. Doesn't have the same call letters.
It doesn't have the same call letters.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
WGCL 9.
Oh, geez.
Cleveland.
Yeah. They're still going strong.
Well, that's WNCX now.
Oh, Cleveland's classic rock.
Yeah. So I'd say they're going strong, but they moved out of there. I remember the first time I was ever in a radio station, I got the opportunity to visit Phil Garner, who was a member of the morning team. He would do
yes.
things like that. I got to meet him and talk to him, and I was, oh my God, was I fascinated. I couldn't believe that they're just in this small little building. And the it made sense, but the most surprising part, the studios, depending on where they had a studio towards the inside of the building, but they had some studios facing the street.
Yeah.
The studios facing the street all had bulletproof glass hanging in front of them.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, right behind the glass, because they didn't want anybody to get shot while they were on the air. And
yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah, how about that?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah, the Greyhound Terminal is going to be, I guess, obviously, that's it was still being used, by the way. Greyhound was still using that, which I didn't
realize. Oh, yeah.
And so they're going to have to find a new location, I guess, here in the next year.
I wonder why they, maybe they made them.
Well, it was sold to another group. Oh, yeah.
Made them an offer they can't refuse.
That's probably what it is. It was bought by another group, but I think for just over $1.2 million. And then the Playhouse Square Foundation bought it from those people. So whoever bought it originally, they made some cash. Good for them.
Yeah.
And then another news about buildings being sold. Do you know the Tower City building was sold?
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What's the Tower City building as opposed to Terminal Tower? Are they the same thing?
It's kind of the same thing. I needed to do more research, but this group called the Nadmar Realty Group bought it for $54 million.
Huh.
Now, the question I have, do you remember that guy that we spoke with way back when on our podcast? I'm not going to lie, it wasn't the greatest interview, where he was talking about buying a building.
You're talking about the guy that was playing games online while he was talking to us?
I think so. That was him.
Yes.
Do you remember what building he was talking about?
I don't think it was the Terminal Tower. I thought it was the BP building or maybe the 55 Public Square building. I don't think it was the Terminal Tower.
Yeah, I think you might be right. But so yeah, new group is now purchased that. So now, I found that. In all honesty, you got to remember that the Tower City building, I'm going to make sure I'm saying this correctly. No, that's a different group. Never mind. Hey, strike that from the record.
If we want to take credit for having on the guy who's now buying Terminal Tower, I'd say never let the facts stand in the way of a good story.
Now, and here's the amazing part. We've done so well knowing his name. No. That's even
that guy. Impressive. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. That guy.
So, yeah, some interesting Cleveland news. I thought you would like that. I know you have Claps Clips today and all that, but I thought I'd bring up some.
Oh, that's good news right there. Yeah.
That is good news. What else do we have on the show?
Oh, we have a lot of fun on this show. We have some fun to share in our out and about. We have an amazing story about a lost dog in good news and a woman with an arrest warrant in Claps Clips. And Ken, you won't believe what the warrant is about. That and more coming up.
And now, a woman's perspective.
How does a man show he's planning for the future? He buys two cases of beer instead of one.
This has been a woman's perspective.
Ken, we have an overachiever. I think we all overachieved during the eclipse on Monday, but that was pretty impressive. But this is another overachiever. An Illinois man is a new world record holder. Tony Pirano broke the previous record of 25,000 squats in 24 hours.
I'm sorry?
He broke the previous record of 25,000 1,000 squats in 24 hours.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he did 26,100. So it wasn't like he did one or two more and just stopped. He started at 5 a.m., took 30-second breaks after each set of 22 squats. There are a few longer breaks in there as well. The record attempt raised money for the Marion County Horizon Center of Decatur and Mount Zion, and they help with housing, employment, and other resources for adults with developmental disabilities.
So that's awesome.
Some good that news really in there cool. as well. How many squats can you do in, let's say, a minute? Let's just start there.
Boy, I don't know. Does that include, like, when I have to use the toilet? Or are you just talking about...
That's the only kind of squat I can do.
I mean, I think I can do, I would say 40. 40 okay. squats.
40 squats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you?
One. I don't
one
want to pull
squat.
It. Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah. There you go. That is an overachiever.
Ted, we're out and about. Let's see. Northeast Ohio, Cincinnati, Covington, Kentucky. I believe you were in Florida.
This will be
a classic.
We're going all over.
Out and about. Let's see. I will start. I volunteered for the NCAA tournament.
Oh, this is the women's tournament.
It was pretty cool. I just wanted to find a way to be involved. I didn't buy tickets because I didn't have a couple extra grand in my pocket to buy a seat, but I wanted to kind of experience some of it. So I worked the Women's Basketball Coaches Association registration area. Let me tell you, it wasn't hard. I grabbed someone's name tag and put a lanyard on it and handed it to them. I said, have a great day. That's what I did. But I met some great people, saw some AU. So I saw Kerry Pickens. The Ashland University women's basketball coach. I saw her assistant. I saw Robin Fralick, the former coach, who's now the head coach for Michigan State. From afar, I didn't have a chance to talk to her. And then I saw a couple other AU folks. Eric Franz, who was a football player at AU. He writes for a newspaper, kind of a high school newspaper, college paper, called Max Preps, and he lives in the Dayton area. I talked to him for about 15, 20 minutes. It was really cool. But the experience was awesome. I mean, there was a ton of people. I got to see the bands run around, all four bands from the teams that were in the Final Four. They were playing. It was very well done. That Huntington Convention Center is a very cool venue, and it was absolutely perfect. So that was a blast. I did that Friday, late afternoon, and then afterwards I had to treat myself, and I went to Noble Beast and had a beer. Yeah, I know you enjoy that place as well. Their food is very good. We're back on the track circuit again. My son has had he had a meet that I was not able to be a part of, but he had a meet in Medina. And so I actually volunteered in the morning with a high jump. And I will tell you what I did. I picked up the high jump bar when it was knocked down and put it back on there. That was my job for 3.5 hours. So there you go. I'm doing what I can for Medina High School, helping out. I had to go to Sandusky to watch my daughter compete in a competition, which was fun. So we did that. And then 2 weeks before that, I took a little vacay on my own, and I went to Cincinnati and Covington, where I took in some good times with a couple friends. Actually, Terry O'Toole, who was on our podcast, I saw him. We did not talk about colonoscopies, but we just talked about life and what is going on. And then I actually talked to one of our friends of the show, Kevin Strail, him and his wife as well. I spent time with Terry's wife at dinner as well. So it was fun. We had a great time. And then Covington, Kentucky, I'm not sure if you guys have been there, right on the border of Cincinnati. It is a cool little city. A lot of different things to go on there. The eating and drinking there is just really good. I think I picked up 15 pounds, but I could do that at home as well. The highlights were I went to the Sign Museum. They have an old sign museum that's actually in downtown Cincinnati. Well, they have a bunch of old signs. It's very cool. And then I went to, in Covington, St. Mary's Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption, which I highly recommend. They have the largest stained glass window in the Western Hemisphere. Oh. I didn't realize I was going to have such a religious experience, but I did. It was pretty cool. I walked around that church for, I think, close to an hour. It was really, really neat. So had a great time, and then came on back, and obviously back to work, and have more track meets and dance recitals and all that. But we're happy to be a part of that. Ted, I look for the update for you. I'm going to kind of set this up. Seems like this was a kind of a spur of the moment trip, was it not?
We wanted to go somewhere over spring break, but we didn't finalize those plans until within the week that we left. So sort of a spur of the moment situation, but we decided to, so the kids got out of school on Thursday and we left. We came home, packed up and left and headed for Florida. And I can't even tell you where we stayed in North Carolina. I mean, we literally got to the hotel, went to sleep, got up and drove. And got on to, we went to Fort Walton Beach, Florida, which is where we were last year.
Explain where that's at.
That is near Destin, Florida, near Louisiana, that area.
Yep.
Destin is kind of the tourist area. Fort Walton Beach is maybe 10 minutes down the road. And when I say the road, I mean road.
Yep.
So the traffic there is interesting, but we had some fun. We went snorkeling. We had some seafood. We went swimming. We sat on the beach, played a lot of Monopoly. We found out that our kids really enjoy Monopoly. We went go-karting and we saw a magic show.
Nice.
Some interesting experiences while we were there, or observations. It seems like Erica is the only one who really likes sitting on the beach. the other kids would rather be in the pool. Gus dug a trench so that the water wouldn't come up to us where we were on the beach.
Okay.
And then I got buried in the sand, and I think Fritz got buried in the sand. Some other shenanigans, but it was a really good time, a lot of fun. And we've decided, based on our kids, our observations of our kids go-karting, we have decided collectively, my wife and I, that none of them will get their driver's licenses until they are old enough to afford insurance, cars, and they're out of the house. Gus crashed at least once in every go-kart race he was in because he kept trying to cut people off.
He's aggressive.
Yeah. So just some highlights from an otherwise memorable trip, and a good time was had by all.
That's the most important part. Well, Ted, thanks for being out and about, spending your hard-earned dollars across not only Northeast Ohio, but across the nation. Thank you for that. And you too, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to be out and about and help support your local businesses. Ted, good news. A dog from California went missing last July. Fortunately, Mishka. Is that a Polish dog? Mishka?
Who stole the Mishka?
I don't know who stole it, but he returned. He had an ID chipped implanted in her and information about her owners. She apparently wandered away from her owner's workplace in San Diego. She was found and is fine. Police in a suburb of Detroit got a call about a stray dog last week. It was Mishka. Somehow, she wound up 2,000 miles from home. 2,000 miles. Her owner picked her up, and she is now happily back at her home.
That's unbelievable.
She's a wanderer. She's a wanderer.
Yeah. That's
she's wandering all around.
Yeah.
Well, good news. We found Mishka.
Who stole a Mishka?
Forecast Roulette with the official, the official meteorologist of two middle-aged men in Cleveland, Fox 8's Scott Sable.
Forecast Roulette. Don't have to say why, but we have the meteorologist, Scott Sable from Fox 8. He joins us. Scott, spring's coming up. Obviously, we've talked to you about some of your activities. Any things you hope to do differently this year, this spring, as opposed to others?
I hope to play golf different, better. Wow, that's a great one. Wow. I hope to enjoy it, but I hope the time goes by slower in spring, because it seems
trail
like
trail walking. Do you need to do any trail walking or anything like that? I mean, we have all these wonderful parks in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, out in Medina County, I know there's a lot out there. You know, especially when it starts greening up a little bit and you can actually see color. That's always fun to do. Yeah, especially going hikes. You know, go down in the metro parks. A lot of hiking in Peninsula. You know, down there and along the river. The Cuyahoga River there, grew up, you know, around there in Hudson. So, so definitely getting outside and enjoy the weather.
I know. I want to ask this question, Ted. This is a little offbeat, but why not? It's our podcast. Do you ever hang out with the other weather people from other stations or the people at your station? Do you ever socialize and say, hey, I'll meet you up at such and such and we'll talk about weather? Does that ever happen?
We'll talk about weather.
We'll talk about the cumulus clouds. You know, not really much anymore, only because we do so much live news now. You know, 15, 20 years ago, we did about half as much work and you know, we would see people from time to time and you could make a conscious effort. But nowadays, everybody's busy. Everyone's on the air all the time. And by the time you get off the air, the last thing you want to do is good talk weather. So we don't do nearly as much as we used to.
Fair enough.
Sounds like a fireside chat. Let's go talk weather.
Let's go talk weather. Let's do it.
Smoke a pipe and sit in a chair.
Yeah. Ted, we should probably, you want to spin a wheel? I think it's your turn. You want to spin that thing?
Today.
The last time you spin it, you broke the thing, so take it easy.
Am I spinning it?
Yeah, you're spinning it.
Okay, all right, here we go. All right, here it goes. There it is. It's spinning.
I have to pay some money for a new wheel. That thing sounds rough.
Hope it's not some far-off place we're not familiar with.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, look at this. All right, Scott. Well, you better be on your toes here. This one's, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Look, why do you guys have to bring trick questions into the picture here? man, one of the cloudiest Januarys. Well, it was last year. Last January's cloudy too, and then we've had a kind of a decent February. We're looking at like 50s later on this week, and then next week the bottom falls out, and it's going to snow, and we'll drop back into the 20s. So,
okay, we'll talk to you later, Scott.
I gave you a long range outlook there, too.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Scott, so many people from Cleveland, Ohio that you think of, but one that comes to mind for me, certainly a guy that I think is, you know, probably one of the best athletes to come out of high school football and had a very good college career and played in the pros, is actually Ted Ginn Jr. And I know you guys had a chance to talk to him. What things did you find out from Ted Ginn Jr.? And previously, one of your first podcasts, you actually talked to Ted Ginn Sr. So you talked to the father and the son.
Yeah. You know, his dad, soft-spoken guy, but he's a guy who's kind of, he's one of those guys that when you talk, he's not, you know, flamboyant, but you pay attention. And he's kind of has this magnetic personality talking to the dad. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, this guy's got a lot to say. and just a guy who is so influential, and he influenced his son. His son said, you know, I wanted to, you know, when I was in the NFL, you know, you kind of think you're a big deal, but my dad always kept me, you know, kept me grounded. And he'll always tell me if I screwed up on the field, look, this is what you should have been doing. You know, this is what you need to do. Just a fantastic, both of those guys, just fantastic guys.
Anything interesting that you learned from Ted Ginn Jr. you didn't know before you had the podcast?
When he moved back home, he was living in his parents' house after he, before he got settled. And then, yeah, exactly. Oh, wait, by the way, guys, you know, if you join the other episode, the other episode, they drop food off. My brother's right here. If you'd like to say hi to my brother.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. John, great to see you. Did you eat all of Scott's food with your father or no?
It was a pleasure to eat all of his food. And it's like a tradition unlike any other. I used to do it as a kid, and now I'm doing it as a adult. So it tastes so much better.
Okay.
Well, Scott, I mean, John, since we have you, I mean, it's not too often we actually get two brothers. What's the most difficult thing working at the same station with your brother? I'll step off and let you go.
Ooh, I mean, how much time do you guys have? There's just so many. I think it's, you know, when you look back at his tenure there, he's built up quite a rapport in his meteorology and his weather forecasting. So I can't ever top that because he got the brains in the family. You know, he's the smartest of all five of us siblings. But I got the looks and I got the athleticism and I got the hair. And I guess that's all that matters.
Oh,
the
wow.
Hair is the most important. The hair is very key.
Yeah. Yes. You have any response to that, Scott?
Look, all I got to say is I'm hungry, I'm tired, and I'm really cranky. And this interview might go short.
Yep. We get it. We've been told, and we know your attention span is pretty small. So
yeah, I was
very small as I get older. Yeah,
appreciate I think that. I'm losing attention right now.
Yeah,
to this,
very true. Well, John, thanks for joining us as well, last minute, and once again on a serious note, really enjoy the work you do on Fox A. I think you do a phenomenal job. I follow you on X. You have to call it X now. It's not Twitter. It's X. And I really enjoy all the stuff you put on there and really enjoy your guys' podcast. It's really different. You talk to some great people and hopefully you guys have some more great guests. I know Rocky Colavito is one of your guests down the road here. You just talked to him here recently and really appreciate all the hard work you're doing.
Ken, thanks so much for the kind words. It's fun to be back home. And joking aside, I know Scott and I don't see a lot of each other at work, but when we do, it's always kind of fun. And the podcast is kind of, you know, ballooned up to something fun that we do. And it's a shared interest that we have with Cleveland sports history and stuff that we grew up with our dad and growing up here. So we enjoy doing it. And we appreciate you guys' viewership on TV and on the pod.
Very cool. Scott, I know you've lost attention. I really, do you have any other words before we let you go here?
I have zero words.
Okay.
I noticed that every city that the Forecast Roulette Wheel landed on this these last few episodes since we brought you back on. They all seem to relate to guests on your podcast. I wonder how that happened.
I don't know. I mean, it could be like, it could be just, I don't know, the trick table, you know, like people trick out their. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a WD-40 that you got.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Right. That stuff that you have on the shelf behind you there, next to your Ming Dynasty statues or Lego or whatever.
Yes, I'm working on that.
Classic.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks for your time. Good luck.
No
Hopefully
problem,
the groundhog keeps you fine. And good luck. Thanks again for all your weather forecasting.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Forecast Roulette with the official, the official meteorologist of two middle-aged men in Cleveland, Fox 8's Scott Sable. The most trusted name in journalism, Klops Clips.
Here we go, Ken. A Pennsylvania man had a vasectomy last week. That's how a good news story starts. That's not the interesting part, though. No, you might recall that the East Coast was hit by an earthquake last week. It happened 10 minutes into the 20-minute procedure on Justin Allen. He said the whole room started shaking and the surgeon stopped. The doctor said, "Is that an earthquake?" Allen thought it was a joke, but eventually figured out it wasn't when the doctor laughed about how nobody would forget where they were when that happened. The surgery, by the way, successful.
Good for him. He's just unlucky.
A porch pirate in California went farther than most to commit a crime. Omar Munoz was, he got a notification that a package had been delivered to his house. When he got home, there was no package there. He checked the security camera footage. It turns out a porch pirate wandered out of the porch in a trash bag. Guy was in the trash bag, wandered up, grabbed the item, and waddled away. All of that effort netted the guy an item worth about $10. No suspects yet.
I wonder what it's like to be the brother of Anthony Munoz, the greatest offensive lineman ever to play football.
Oh, boy. A Toronto woman has a new way that she's using to meet men in bars. Michelle Arshad got a stamp made, and now when she sees a guy she likes, she walks up, asks to see his hand, and stamps him. She calls it an interesting icebreaker. The stamp says, "You're cute and I'm cute. You should hit me up if you're single." It also includes her Instagram name. She says she's gotten a free drink out of the deal so far, but she actually met her current boyfriend at the gym.
Well, it's a great place to go. Hopefully it was plenty of fitness.
Yes. Yeah.
That's my favorite place. That's probably what happened using the arm machine.
Has anybody ever stamped you in a bar?
I can't talk about that.
Okay. The only time I've ever been stamped is to get into the bar.
What, the blind pig? Is that what you're talking about?
Any of them, yeah.
The blind pig? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Got to show you're 21 or you've been checked or whatever it is.
Yeah, okay, let's have this conversation. When's the last time you've been checked with your ID? It's a long time for me. I'll leave it. You don't have to answer that.
Yeah, thank you. There's an arrest warrant out for a Texas mom. That's because she didn't return two library books on time.
How dare she?
The books are valued at $60. Her current court bill is almost $600.
Oh, my.
She found out about the warrant when she couldn't renew her driver's license at the BMV. She has met with a judge, telling the judge that one book was returned and the other was late due to a difficult pregnancy. The judge was less than sympathetic, telling her this is like stealing from Walmart. Kaylee Morgan has raised more than $1,300 through a GoFundMe, though, and plans to get the whole thing removed from her record. Oddly enough, she hasn't heard from the court since publicizing the situation.
Well, that's interesting.
Huh. Imagine that.
That's interesting.
You think the courts maybe have something better to do?
Yeah, it seems a little extreme for not returning a book.
Not returning a book. Sports, some scores. 4-2, 5-1, 8-0, and 6-3. I'm Ted Klopp. That's news to me.
Not a dad joke.
So, Ken, on Monday, as the eclipse was, we were preparing for the eclipse, Han says, "Daddy, can you explain the eclipse?" You know what I said?
No.
No, son.
That joke was horrible.
Ken, we're coming to the end of episode number 134. You had some news at the beginning of the show. I found some other news.
Nice.
Did you know that while Cleveland is one of the most affordable cities in the country to live in, we apparently have the most expensive restaurant in Ohio? You know what it is?
I have a basic idea.
Take
a guess.
Yeah, go ahead, guess.
I'm going with the Marble Room.
Boy, you're 100% on that.
You better bring buckets and buckets of cash.
Gosh,
when you go
I'm
there.
Looking at this here. Food. Let's see, seafood, steaks, raw bar, an ounce of which will set you back $199. Main courses, a Wagyu strip loin, $144 for 4 ounces of that.
Oh my gosh, wow. Yeah,
that's... cocktails, sushi, $13 to $37. Steaks start at 35, salads, about $15. Cocktails, $13 to $20.
It's about right.
Yeah.
It's about right. It is. I heard it's, I've never been there. I think you worked.
I was just going to say.
I've never been there.
Yeah.
No. That's, you
that's
know.
That's out of your price range?
As Kevin Hart says, you have a financial lane. My lane is nowhere close to that.
Yeah.
We're not there. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been in there only to set up AV equipment.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep. The other piece of news I have, there are three towns in Ohio that are among the top 10 most unhappy cities in the U.S., according to a report. This is the top, I guess, 200, out of 182 cities. Do you want to guess the most unhappy cities that Ohio has on this list?
Lodi.
No.
Oh. Savannah. No. Savannah, Ohio. Olina.
Keep going.
No. All right, on a serious
note,
I'm going to go with big cities.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go with Toledo.
No.
Huh.
Now, this report, just so you know, this report was the happiest cities. There's 182 ranked, and three Ohio cities are close to the bottom, so they'd be the...
All right, I'm going to go, concerning what our podcast is named, Cleveland.
Right. 181 out of 182.
Real
you know who lot. Beat us?
Cincinnati.
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Okay, so we have Cleveland. I'm trying to...
You were right on, I'm sorry, you were right on Toledo. Toledo is 176.
Okay. It wouldn't be Cincinnati.
No, it wouldn't be Cincinnati. Columbus. Slightly smaller city.
Dayton?
No, close.
Hmm.
Big A, Akron.
Oh, Akron, okay.
Yeah, 173.
Do you feel unhappy when you go to those cities? I don't.
I'm always unhappy, but there's three reasons for that.
That's for a different podcast.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
That's a different podcast.
Right. So,
Ted, I forgot to mention on my out and about. I didn't mention Dingus Day. I took in Dingus Day.
Can we say that on the podcast? I thought this was a family show.
No, the actual event. I took in the Dingus Day, Gordon Square. I saw DJ Kishka, who was on our podcast. I saw, actually not at Dingus Day, but on the NCAA tournament, Jen Brastovich. I did see Jen, who from Destination Cleveland. Didn't have a chance to talk to her. She was walking around what I believe is an astronaut. That or someone who's dressed up like one. You had the blue suit on and walking around. I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna do this.
Did she holler lift off at any point?
No, that didn't happen.
Okay. So. Okay.
That's what I got.
Well, next time. Week. Next time we have her on, we'll have to ask about that.
We will.
Yeah.
Certainly will.
All right.
Well, Ted, thanks to Scott Sable. He was our only guest. And a lot of us today, which I think people will enjoy because it's foolishness. And it's just Ted and I being Ted and I.
Yeah.
Best of luck to the Guardians as they start to play real teams as opposed to the Chicago White Sox and the Oakland Athletics, who don't even know where they're playing in a couple of years. So, but thanks to our listeners. Hope you had a great week. Enjoy the weather. And don't forget, we're just two middle-aged men in Cleveland.
Two Middle-Aged Men in Cleveland is sponsored by Westminster AV, custom audio-visual packages for all occasions.